on today's show, just how important is Jayshon Tate to this Houston Rockets basketball team? How has his impact kind of adversely affected the Rockets on both sides of the basketball, offensively and defensively? Both Kevin Porter Jr. and Stephen Silas talking about it at the most recent Houston Rockets practice. Plus, three things to be on the lookout for in the Houston Rockets versus Dallas Mavericks matchup. All of that coming up right here at Locked On Rockets.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
The Houston Rockets select Jalen Green and Jabari Smith Jr.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
Every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
You're getting somebody who's going to come in with a chip on their shoulder, somebody who's going to come in and compete from day one.
Six, five, four, three, two, one.
What's up and welcome to another edition of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and credentialed media member. I'm also the host of Locked On NBA Mondays, host of the State of the Rockets podcast, as well as Rockets Watch. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin. And the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, free and available wherever you get your podcasts, including YouTube, where you can help the show out tremendously by commenting anything below. Remember, four to house, four to team, 4D algorithm. Go comment on the show. Helps out a ton. Today, we're going to focus on Jayshon Tate, surprisingly, seeing as how he hasn't played, you know, in recent memory. But he was a focal point of Houston Rockets practice and a talking point for both Kevin Porter Jr. and maybe some of the missing leadership on this team, which we'll get into in a moment. Stephen Silas talking about the importance of Jayshon Tate. And that's actually kind of where I want to start is I do think that Jayshon Tate being out, you know, he is a piece that this team relies on heavily for better or for worse. And that's where I want to start is actually running back Stephen Silas's comments on the absence of Jayshon Tate and what that, you know, what that, how that impacts this Rockets team.
A lot. He is one that helps everybody on the floor play well. That's a very good point. There's times where we kind of let him be the point guard and his man is playing all the way off of him, and he's a very good decision maker, and he can make the little handoffs or keep and go and make the right plays. So although he's a third-year player, he's a vet for us and an experienced guy who we sorely miss on both ends of the floor.
How much does he really just settle things down for you on both ends of the floor?
He does. It's funny because I forget who asked me the question last night, who is the person that I kind of go to when things are kind of tough on the floor, and he's one I didn't mention him last night, but he's definitely one who I miss having conversations with during the game, or the one who kind of pulls the guys together at the free throw line and gets them, you know, organized or right or calms everything down. So yeah, we miss him in so many different ways, but that's a really good point.
So first off, hi, it was me. That I was the one who asked Silas after the Clippers game, you know, who do you rely on, right? I was curious, right? Who does he rely on the floor when the going gets tough, right? When things are frustrating, you know, when the opposing team goes on a big run, or when you're going on little runs and you just can't kick down the door, you can't climb the hill, and you know you're trying to fight your way back in these games. Who does Stephen Silas rely on the floor? And his answer to me when I asked after the Clippers game was, you know, I kind of try to rely on everybody. But he, you know, specifically cited Eric Gordon, didn't mention Jayshon Tate that night. So it was cool to kind of have him follow up there off of Adam Spillane's question, talking about, you know, the importance of Jayshon Tate, what he brings, and, you know, what they're missing without him being out there. Because I do think it's worth noting that for a couple different things, and I want to start with kind of Silas's little, like, circle of trust, I guess, when he's, you know, when he's looking at his roster, when he's looking at his players. And I think we can very safely say that the two guys that Stephen Silas trusts beyond anybody else on this Rockets roster are Eric Gordon and Jayshon Tate, right? Those are the two guys. We've seen it consistently with Eric Gordon, you know, being trusted in late game situations, being the, you know, the I call him Silas's security blanket at times. He's the stable vet. He's the guy that Silas leans on a lot, right? Silas also leans on Jayshon Tate, right? And he is treated as kind of a vet within this system. Even though he's a third-year player, he's older than, you know, everybody else on the roster. He's not a vet like Eric Gordon is, but he is older and more mature than the rest of the quote-unquote young guys on this Rockets roster. And Steven Silas kind of uses him, I think, to bridge that gap as kind of an extension of himself on the floor, right, of how to corral guys, settle guys down, all of that. So I do think that, you know, when you look at it through that lens, Jayshon Tate's impact is sorely missed on the basketball floor. Now, I do know that there's an argument there for, oh, well, KJ Martin looks really fantastic, and I agree. KJ's looked phenomenal, right? If I had my way of things right now, I mean, KJ would be starting over EG. EG probably wouldn't be getting too many minutes, but I do think there is a role still for Jayshon Tate on this team. I don't think when you're the vocal leader for a team like that, I don't think you have to be in the starting lineup, but I do think that Jayshon provides a lot of things that this current Rockets roster doesn't necessarily have in droves, right? He is a really versatile piece offensively. He can kind of run a little point, right? He can settle things down offensively. He is a pretty decent decision maker offensively. There are times, especially last season, that he got a little too, you know, tunnel vision happy or whatever. You'd get to the, you know, spin down low and try to finish in the lane of the trees. His efficiency numbers were pretty good doing that, but you know, his playmaking is a tool for him, something that makes him unique. And his defense, right? He's an incredibly vocal defender, and he's kind of a glue guy that brings the other guys along defensively. There's a lot of really talented individual defenders on this Rockets roster, but there's not really, it feels like, you know, Jabari was going to kind of be that vocal guy, but he's been a little shook so far to start his NBA career. Tate is kind of that glue piece defensively where he can, you know, explain and tell guys, hey, you're supposed to be in this spot. Hey, go here. Hey, do this. And not only does he have the knowledge of how to play defense at a strong level, both individually and from a team perspective, but then he's also, his voice carries weight in the locker room, right? The guys respect him. They listen to him. He is an authority figure to them, sort of. So I think all of those things rolled in together kind of, basically, you know, that showcases how important he can be, and the fact that he does still have a role in this Rockets team, and that he has been missing, and that he will continue to be missing for the next 2 to 3 weeks until they're able to reevaluate his, you know, ankle injury. That's, you know, it's concerning. It's also concerning that one player has that much of an, you know, adverse impact, and that their absence is able to affect a team so much. You know, it'll be curious to see what this team actually looks like when he's back on the floor, and whether or not, you know, he just comes in and suddenly just a switch is just flipped and suddenly the team looks night and day different in the minutes that he's on the floor. I do think that, you know, in preseason, granted it's preseason, but when we saw him on the floor in that game against the Toronto Raptors, a very good Toronto Raptors team, this Rockets team played incredibly well, right? The defensive tone was shifted with Jayshon Tate on the floor. So maybe he really is kind of that missing piece to corral and orchestrate and quarterback the Rockets defense a little bit, you know, with all these other really interesting pieces that the Rockets do have available, right? In, you know, Jabari, Tari, KJ, even, you know, Jalen Green, you know, throughout points this season has shown some, you know, some improved defense and some drive on that side of the floor. So I'm very curious to see what that actually ultimately, you know, whether or not his impact is going to be as big as what, you know, Steven Silas kind of made it out to be there. And I do want to also share Kevin Porter Jr.'s thoughts on Jayshon Tate, because I think there may be an underlying message under what Kevin Porter Jr. had to say about Jayshon Tate and his importance to this team. So we're going to take a look at that in just one moment. But first, today's episode is brought to you by Turo. Turo is the world's largest car sharing marketplace. With Turo, you can book any car you want, wherever you want it, from a community of local hosts. Browse a huge selection of vehicles for just about any occasion or budget across the US, UK, Canada, and coming soon to Australia. Book a spacious SUV or a minivan for a family road trip. Get a classic or luxury car for a special event, birthday, or holiday. Find affordable economy cars if you're on a budget and just need to get from point A to point B. Test drive that new electric vehicle you've had your eye on to see how it fits in your everyday life. Many Turo hosts can even deliver the car right to your doorstep. Every trip is backed by liability insurance. Terms and conditions and exclusions apply. Forget boring rental cars and find your drive at Turo.com. Today's episode is also brought to you by Built Bar with some brand new reimagined flavors. Cookie dough topper, coconut brownie bar, coconut brownie topper, white chocolate peppermint granola, candy cane brownie just in time for the holiday season. First off, for anyone who hasn't tried Built Bar before, they're literally the best tasting protein bar ever built. They're the best tasting protein bar on the market. Every single bar is low-cal, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. Amazing if you're trying to cut back a little bit, maybe lose a little bit of weight. They're revolutionizing nutrition as we know it with 100% real chocolate, 17 grams of protein, and shockingly low sugar and calories. Just 130 calories in every single Built Bar. And there's, like, seriously, I'm not kidding. There will be a time before you tried Built Bar, and then there will be a magical, wonderful time afterwards. You're probably wondering which new flavors, my favorite. Of the new flavors, I'm actually probably partial to the white chocolate peppermint granola. I highly suggest checking it out, although candy cane brownie is a close second. And again, just in time for the holiday season. Built Bar, you got to check them out. Get 15% off your order right now by using promo code LOCKEDON15 at Built.com. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON15 for 15% off at Built.com. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Let's go ahead and continue the conversation here focused on Jayshon Tate. The team sorely missing him and his production on the basketball floor, as well as his leadership. And that's what KPJ talked about to the media.
That's our leader. Shoot, missing our leader. Everyone knows what a leader is to a team. He's probably, if not the most, like, second most valuable piece to this organization, so he's our leader, and we need him back. We're gonna hold it down until he comes back.
So KPJ, just, you know, some very kind words, some strong words, talking about Jayshon Tate, saying, you know, hey, he's if not the most, then at least the second most, you know, important piece to this organization. Some high praise from Kevin Porter Jr. I am curious to know who he thinks the most important piece to the organization is. Whether that would be Jalen, whether it's himself, I should have followed up on that. But what I do find curious, and I wonder, right? Maybe there's too much, maybe reading too much into this. But right, this commentary from KPJ comes directly on the heels of the Clippers game, where Eric Gordon was very blunt about the lack of ball movement, the lack of late game execution, the same mistakes being made over and over, the frustrations, all of that, right? Like, EG is just, he was, you know, dejected after that loss. And if you read between the lines on what Eric Gordon was saying, it kind of all falls back on Kevin Porter Jr.'s shoulders. Like, you know, KPJ was the one who was kind of ball stopping. He was the one who was playing ISO heavy. He was the one who wasn't moving the basketball. So, you know, I do wonder, right, when you've got your veteran leader on the team in Eric Gordon, and you go into a media scrum and you say somebody else is the leader and that they desperately are missing him and that his impact is, you know, sorely missed and this, that, and the other thing. And then even later on, you know, didn't include it this clip, but somebody asked, you know, well, what, you know, how do you fill that void? Who, you know, how do you, you know, make up for not having Jayshon? And Kevin was basically like, well, I feel like you can't, you know, make up for that. It's a void, and you just got to do the best that you can without him. So I do wonder if that's a little bit of a kind of a sideways shot towards Eric Gordon about EG's leadership or potentially lack thereof. I mean, obviously we know about, you know, the little on the bench spat between Jalen and Jabari and Eric Gordon just sitting there kind of minding his own business. And you would hope and you would think that the, you know, veteran leader for the team and the guy that the Rockets organization, Rockets brass, kind of trying to lean on to corral and lead these kids out there, these, you know, 19, 20, 21 year old kids, you know, would step in and say something or do something. At the time I kind of just viewed it as, hey, it was probably nothing, which is why Eric Gordon was just whatever over there on the bench. But, you know, Eric Gordon's not necessarily been known to be a very vocal leader, right? You know, even Steven Silas has talked about it before, saying EG is more of one to lead by example than to be kind of that demonstrative vocal guy to you know, get in somebody's ear and yell at them, you know, whatever, to be that heart and soul type leader. And that's very clearly what Jayshon Tate is to this Rockets team. So maybe it wasn't a sideways thing. Maybe it was just, you know, legitimately that's what Jayshon Tate is, right? He's the heartbeat of this Rockets team. And not having him out there, you know, definitely hurts this team in a variety of ways, both offensively and defensively. So seeing what he will provide to this team when he does make it back is going to be really interesting. And also seeing how Steven Silas is even going to go about, you know, factoring him back into the lineup, given, you know, there's an abundance of guys who require minutes on this Rockets team, and there's not a whole ton of minutes to go around. So how do you factor him in? How do you, you know, get him the minutes at the wing spot, you know, when EG is still getting wing minutes and we've got guys like KJ and Tari who absolutely deserve to play? Does it potentially eat into minutes for a guy like Usman Garuba? Who knows, right? And unfortunately, you know, 2 to 3 weeks away from the Rockets reevaluating Jayson Tate and us kind of finding out what that ultimately looks like. But I do want to talk a little bit about Rockets Mavericks, the, you know, tonight's upcoming matchup. And it's always fun, the in-state rivals, this one being the first one this season, the Texas Triangle, if you will, between the Rockets, Mavericks, and Spurs. And yeah, I'm actually here in enemy territory. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see me in the South Oklahoma hotel room special. But I've got a few things that I want to, you know, kind of, I think, you know, we should all pay attention to and kind of, you know, take note of going into this game. The first of which is, does Luka Doncic even play? Because the Mavericks are actually on the second night of a back-to-back, and they actually just played the LA Clippers, who the Rockets also just played in Houston. So the Clippers are doing their little, you know, Texas sweep. And shout out to the Clippers, who were down as many as 25 in the first half, a very, very forgettable first half of basketball for the LA Clippers. And then they made it a game. It was a nail biter down to the final couple possessions, and they made the Mavericks work for that win. So Luka wound up playing 40 minutes in that game, and Jason Kidd has been very vocal this season about wanting to find time, wanting to find moments to kind of rest Luka, rest his star player. Luka carries an immense workload. They're basically running the super-duper heliocentric James Harden unguardable tour-style offense from a few years ago for the Houston Rockets. They're doing the same thing with Luka again this season. He's leading the NBA in points per game, and he's doing it all. But, you know, again, we've talked about it before. There's a certain ceiling to those types of teams. So does Luka even play? He may not be available in this game. And if Luka doesn't play, here's my issue. I feel like when a star player is out of a game, it goes one of two ways. There's way number one, which is guys all step up and they're like, oh my God, we don't have Luka. And then like multiple guys step out and have like the games of their careers, right? And like the team plays like beautiful team basketball and everybody steps up in the absence of their leader and it's just, you get clobbered. Or it's the other side of the coin where they step out there on the floor and look like lost ducklings without Luka to guide them through four quarters of basketball and, you know, spoon feed them three pointers. I feel like there's no gray area there. Like, I feel like that's the case. Like, if Luka doesn't play, it's one of those two options. I will say that if Luka does play, I'm very curious to know who matches up with him as his primary defender when you look at the Rockets starting lineup. Because the Mavericks are kind of interesting in their starters, right? They run kind of like one traditional big, and they run like a bunch of wings, and then Luka. There's a part of me that really wants to say, you know what, just throw Jabari on Luka and see what happens. Because I do wonder and think, you know, that Jabari's length would bother Luka, and he does a good enough job, you know, shuffling his feet, moving, you know, laterally and keeping up with, you know, with perimeter players, that I think he could really cause Luka some trouble. However, I'm almost positive his primary defender is going to be Eric Gordon. So I'm not going to get my hopes up for, you know, something, you know, really out of the box with the Rockets starters. But I do think that Jabari would make a lot of sense as the primary on Luka, and it would be a cool, like, learning experience for him to have to check a player as talented as Luka Doncic. And maybe there will be some moments where the Rockets do some switching and Jabari finds himself on him, but if I had to wager smart money, which you can do with BetOnline, which we'll talk about in a second. That was a terrible tease. I'm supposed to tease into the next segment, not tease into the ad read. That's not how this works. But no, I do think that Jabari would look. I just want to see it. I want to see it even for a few possessions and see how Jabari kind of holds his own. But I also want to talk about the other couple things that I want to pay attention to in this game. Christian Wood revenge game is absolutely on the menu. You know that Christian Wood is going to be, you know, amped up for this game against his former team. How do the Rockets match up with him, right? How do they slow Christian Wood down? How can they take advantage of Christian Wood? And then also, at kind of, you know, feeding into that point, can Şengün get back on track against this Dallas Mavericks team? Against Dwight Powell, Maxi Kleber, C. Wood. Not a whole lot of interior presence from this Dallas Mavericks team. Şengün should be poised to have a huge game. We're going to talk about that in just one moment, but first, today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis this season. Get all the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from football to basketball, soccer, even esports. They've got you covered for everything over at BetOnline. Right now, you can head over to BetOnline to take a look at who the odds-on title favorites are this NBA season. Right now, you got the Boston Celtics and Milwaukee Bucks tied for first place, both at plus 550. You got the Golden State Warriors plus 700. You got the LA Clippers at plus 900. And then rounding out the top five, you have the Phoenix Suns just trailing the Clippers at plus 950. So for all of those odds and more, be sure to visit betonline.net to learn more about the trends and action available to you. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, appreciate you for making LOR your first listen. For your second listen, go check out Locked On Sports Today. From the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with local experts and insights only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports Today, available on this app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Now, taking a look at Christian Wood, an old Rockets fan favorite. He's been playing his role incredibly well with the Dallas Mavericks. Credit to him. And, you know, there was that offseason commotion about him coming off the bench. And then there was the whole, like, I didn't know it was coming off the bench, and whether that was a joke or him being serious, you know, who knows. But it's working. And his role off the bench is working with the Dallas Mavericks. Right now, he missed a couple games on their most recent road trip against the Orlando Magic and Washington Wizards, both of which were actually L's for the Mavericks. So C. Wood is 6-0 in his last six games for the Dallas Mavericks. They're on a six-game win streak when Christian Wood plays, which is curious. And, I mean, his numbers back it up. His numbers have been fantastic. He's averaging just under 16 points per contest, shooting 59% from the floor, 45.5% from three-point land. Still struggling at the charity stripe, just 65%, but he's only getting there 4.5 times a game, so not a ton there. 7.5 boards. Christian Wood is playing well. And you know that he has this game circled in, like, gigantic red Sharpie marker, like the super bulky, ugly Sharpies, not like the cute little whatever, like fine tip point Sharpies, like a big bulky red marker on his calendar, because he wants to go out and prove the Rockets wrong. Say, hey, you guys shouldn't have traded me. He maybe is happier now in Dallas and happier in this situation and playing off of Luka and playing for a different coach in Jason Kidd and playing on a team that has playoff aspirations, all that. So he might be in a happier overall environment, but you always want to go out and ball out against your former team. And that's exactly what Christian Wood is going to try to do against the Rockets. And that might actually help the Rockets in the grand scheme of things, because think about when Christian Wood would turn into the black hole offensively and not pass the ball, not play his, you know, not play within the flow of the offense, all of that, when he tried to take things over. That could be the version of Christian Wood we see against the Rockets, right? Where he's out there trying to do a little bit too much, where he is trying to take, you know, to shoulder the entire load of the game, you know, by himself, rather than, you know, playing off of his teammates, rather than spacing the floor, rather than rolling and doing all the little things that he needs to do to be a successful team player. He may just go out there and he may just be seeing red, pun fully intended, I guess, with the Houston Rockets and their jersey scheme. But legitimately, that could actually play into the favor of the Houston Rockets. And similar to how I want to see Jabari get some reps against Luka, you know, as his primary defender in this game, I also definitely want to see Jabari. And I think this one is a much higher likelihood of happening, just within the course of the game and without any, you know, weird switching or whatever. Jabari's absolutely going to check C. Wood for stretches of this game, especially based on how the Rockets handle their substitution patterns, with Jabari generally checking out, you know, about halfway through the first quarter, maybe at the 7 minute mark of the first quarter, 7 minutes into the first quarter, not 7 minute mark, and then coming back at the top of the second quarter. I definitely think that Jabari and Seawood's minutes are going to overlap with one another, and we're going to see Jabari be the primary defender on Christian Wood. And oh boy, getting like a Jabari Smith Jr. block on Seawood, like at the rim, or like seeing him lock up Seawood on the perimeter, would do wonders for the Jabari Smith Jr. agenda, considering the fact that his season has largely been underwhelming so far to this point. So I would love to see how I'm very optimistic to see how the Rockets are going to handle their reunion against Christian Wood. And to think, right, I mean, you know, I just wonder, right, you know, do the Rockets have this game circled on their calendar, right? Do KPJ, Jalen, are they going to go out there and be like, okay, we're going up against Seawood, let's show out, right? Like, let's show him why he couldn't just buy into a role here and why he needed to be traded. Let's show him what we're capable of, right? So this could be one of those, right? And we've talked about this before. Jalen Green has a tendency to like get up for these big type of games, right? Where there's like a storyline or, you know, somebody, you know, a big opponent to go against. And former teammate Christian Wood, who, you know, guys may or may not have been getting along with him in the locker room. There may have been some, you know, some hurt feelings there, whatever. Then this is one of those kind of big games that I feel like Jalen could be poised to get up for, where he could have a really big night because he's going up against former teammate Christian Wood. So that's something to definitely pay attention to. And then the last thing that I have here is Alperen Şengün, who has struggled as of late. Like, you know, last couple games have not been great for LP. I apologize. Let me rephrase that. Last game was a better game for LP offensively, but he was getting targeted to hell on defense. The Clippers were abusing him on defense, and they were targeting him pretty much every single time down. Offensively, he looked good with Jalen, right? Operating the pick and roll, and things looked really solid. He didn't get to as many of his like traditional type post-up, you know, moves that he gets to within the flow of the Rockets offense. And that was kind of my point, is he played a different kind of game stylistically last game, and then the game prior to that was the one against New Orleans where he fouled out and struggled with fouls all game. He still struggled with fouls last game as well. This game, I think, presents a really unique opportunity for Alpi, because the Mavs don't exactly have a stalwart defensive big to cause LP problems, and I think LP is going to feast in this game, if we're being 100% honest, because you're going to try and defend him with the Clippers. Team's getting all fuzzy in my head. The Mavericks, I believe, do not have JaVale McGee available, and LP has struggled historically against long, athletic big men. Or tend to be the ones who give him a little trouble situationally. And LP's still, he's a really crafty player. He's smart, high basketball IQ. He's able to still, you know, make stuff happen. But the Clippers Why do I keep saying Clippers? I'm got hung up on the Clippers. You know what? It's because the Rockets played the Clippers three times to start the season. That's why I'm hung up on the damn Clippers. Anyways, the Mavericks, they only have Dwight Powell, Christian Wood, and maybe Maxi Kleber, if he's available, to guard Alperen Şengün down low. And if I'm LP, I'm looking at that big man rotation and thinking that's barbecue chicken, right? That's a trip to the free throw line every time down. That's easy buckets every time down. This could very easily be LP's biggest game of the season, numbers-wise, offensively, because if the Rockets don't mess it up and if they get him the basketball where he can be successful down low, he is going to use and abuse every single one of the Mavericks' available big men until they're in foul trouble, until they're sitting on the bench, until they're, you know, raising their hands up at the referee. Like, why? That's not a foul. You know, none of those three bigs can check LP. And so if the Rockets play this thing right, they should really take advantage of LP's post-up play against the Mavericks and really run that offense through him heavily and take advantage of the fact that they have nobody who can check him. So I'm looking forward to a big night from Alperen Şengün. I don't want to do a prediction, but I feel like we could be headed for a 20 plus point evening from Alpi. I'll safely say it. I think we're headed for a 20 and 10 game at a minimum from Alpi in this game, assuming he doesn't get bitten by the foul bug again, because averaging 5.5 fouls over your last two games is not a great number. And he has definitely been struggling with the fouls over the past couple. So as long as he is on the floor, plays his normal amount of minutes, and isn't struggling with fouls, then I do think he's headed for a monster night against the Dallas Mavericks. Let me know what you're most looking forward to in this matchup against the Dallas Mavericks. Let me know in the YouTube comments. I do read each and every one of those every single day. But for today's episode, that is going to do it. As always, I appreciate you for checking out the show. If you haven't done so yet, please consider subscribing wherever you listen to your podcasts. That's Apple, Spotify, Google, the Odyssey app, free and available on all podcast platforms. We're also available on YouTube. Go to YouTube, search Locked on Rockets. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. And of course, we'll have the breakdown for you after this Rockets-Mavericks game. I may just record it right from American Airlines Arena. Hopefully we get to talk about a Rockets win. This could be a Mavericks team, again, gassed, second night of back-to-back, maybe no Luka Doncic. There could be a lot of things pointing in the Rockets' favor, so it should be a very, very fun game. And of course, I'll have you covered for all of that here in Dallas behind enemy lines. But as always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked on Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.